The Steelers are getting rave reviews for what they did in Detroit and through the weekend. And joining us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, beat writer Brian Batko, who I first really met when you were covering the Pitt Panthers. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
So you're with these guys every day. What's your grade for the Steelers draft picks?
Yeah, give it a solid A. I think a lot of the picks they made were pretty much what I would have done. There weren't any real head scratchers. Those of us on the outside asking what were they thinking. And, you know, they've got a lot of guys in this group who played a lot in college, started a lot of games, were very productive, and came from winning programs. So I think those are all things that you want to see. And, you know, it's a crapshoot. We know that about the draft. Who knows? But at least there are some really good foundational traits with a lot of the Steelers picks.
Brian, do any of these draft picks jump out at you as like a dark horse, an underdog that's got a good chance to make a dent?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, right now at this point, a lot of these guys could you know, either start or contribute from the moment they you know, play their first snap as a Steeler. You know, I guess the one who'd be the underdog, because you have to look kind of later, and they didn't have a seventh rounder this year, so no real Cinderella stories. But, you know, sixth round pick Logan Lee out of Iowa, you know, he's a defensive lineman, 6'5", like 280. Not only did he, you know, play in those Iowa jerseys that look like Steelers uniforms, but he said afterward that he grew up appreciating the Steel Curtain, and he just wanted to watch those defenses because of how much he respected those old players. So maybe the guy on the defensive line can, you know, be in Cam Hayward's back pocket, learn a thing or two about being a pro, and he can help bridge the gap to the next generation of Steelers D linemen.
And as you sit down, Brian, we're with Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette, and kind of assess all the moves the Steelers have made, not just for their picks over the weekend, but the free agent signings and maneuvers, bringing in two new quarterbacks. I mean, wow, I can't remember a season where there's been this much change.
Yeah, at least it collectively, right? I mean, in recent years, there have been some seismic departures and arrivals from the Steelers. I'm thinking of Ben Roethlisberger retiring after nearly two decades under center, thinking of Kevin Colbert retiring after about two decades calling the shots in the front office. But those were just sort of singular moves that were huge change for the Steelers. This has been, yes, a lot more moving and shaking up and down the roster and the organization. If we, you know, want to lump in the coaching staff, Arthur Smith coming in as the new offensive coordinator, and yeah, obviously two new quarterbacks to work with, and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Well, four new quarterbacks. They're all gone, but those two are the marquee names, of course. And now these, you know, this draft class that looks again like, you know, they could have top two picks, could be starting right away on the offensive line. Or third rounder Roman Wilson, receiver out of Michigan, and won the national title last year with the Wolverines. He could be a starting wide receiver as soon as week one. So, yeah, I mean, it's it is an aggressive approach, but Art Rooney II pretty much promised they would have to do that after how impatient they were getting following last season's early playoff exit again.
Yeah, he kind of set the tone with his State of the Steelers address to the media there, and then boom, things started really happening.
Nobody was safe either, not even the returning starting quarterback, Kenny Pickett.
Right. Last year's draft class, a pretty high percentage of the picks from last year's class wound up making the 53-man roster. And I'm wondering just how many they're going to be this time around.
Yeah, I think without having a seventh-rounder, it makes it a lot easier to predict that all of these guys could find their way there. I mean, I think it's going to be an uphill climb for the two guys who were taken you know, in the sixth round on Saturday. But that's always the case. It looks right now, even 1 year in, that the 2023 draft class is one of their better ones in a long time. I mean, the fact that you had Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. both starting by the end of the season, you know, Darnell Washington and Nick Herbig and Keanu Benton all look like they are trending up. You know, you still can't really judge a draft three, four, maybe 5 years down the road. But early returns, good on that one. And, yeah, I mean, I think if everybody from this year's group finds a way into the 53-man roster coming out of camp, you'd be feeling the same way about this one that's earning A's and A-pluses from not just us in the local media, but the national draft graders who follow this stuff from all 32 teams.
All right, finally, Brian. Yeah, the NFL is so brilliant at how they organize all this stuff to always be something new and interesting. Now, we're waiting for the schedule to lock in, right? And that happens in, what, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, usually mid-May, and I always look at it as, like, the draft is kind of the huge off-season event for the fans because now they pretty much know what the roster looks like. The schedule release is the big event for the beat writers because now we can start making our plans. We can get the flights, the hotels.
Good
what
point.
Weekend am I going to have off from their bye week? So, yeah, I mean, this is it is just the wheel that keeps on turning for the NFL. They keep churning out the big nights where you need to pay attention to their league, even as the NBA and the NHL playoffs are in full swing. So, yeah, I don't know the exact date right now, but it'll probably be in 2 or 3 weeks in May, and there will be a whole TV production for it in prime time. Hopefully some of those scheduled games will leak out earlier, but, you know, that's the thing to keep in mind, too. We know every team the Steelers are going to play. This is just going to tell us when they're going to play those games.
Read all about it, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Brian Banco. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it.
Anytime. We'll see you guys. Have a good week.
Yeah, Brian makes a good point, Paul. A lot of plans. I mean, there are a lot of fans that make vacation plans, away games and home games, and, you know, there's a lot.
What about before the season even starts down in Latrobe?
That's right. And as I've said, this is going to be a huge turnout, I think, fans this year. Just the general excitement. So here we go.